The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium. And opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Greetings, family. It's the Lotus Place, and we're here tonight on this Wednesday night, September 28th, 2016. We're at the end of September, and I'm hearing a little echo in my voice.
I'm sorry, Black Rose. This Scotty, it will go away. Skype causes it to do that, but if you just keep talking, it will stop.
Okay. Thanks, Scotty. How you doing, Scotty?
I'm okay.
All right. What's up, Cells of Light, namaste,
Scotty. I was listening to the last part of the show.
Me too. Yeah. I was listening too. I sent Scotty an email. I was like, oh, you guys can keep talking. I'm trying to listen too. But you know what, Scotty? I'm going to have to send you a message because throughout this week, I've been trying to like tune in and listen to some of the shows. I don't know if it's my internet connection here, because, you know, I'm in the hotel, and you know how sometimes that can be a little shaky. But it keeps going out, and I'm, like, getting all into the conversation, and then the station will go out. Then I have to
I think that might be that internet connection, because I haven't gotten any reports from anyone else, and I'm sure I would have heard from them, like, when we had those other problems. So that might have been that internet connection.
Probably so. Well, I'm glad to hear that, because I was hoping. I was like, oh, I hope other people not experiencing this. I hope it's just a stupid connection here. So that's good to hear. Okay, well, good, because everybody needs to listen to the Abolitionist Radio. They have some language for us to use instead of mass incarceration. Slavery never did end. We are still in prison, and I keep saying this, that we are this millennium slave sharecroppers. That's all it is. I mean, we still sharecropping. We live, you know, on the plantation, just, you know, a little bit further from the big house. You still have to drive in to work or whatever. But I mean, we're still on the plantation. You're still segregated and relegated to certain areas where you can live and all this crazy madness. Still working long hours, being away from your family. Your job can ship you anywhere and separate you from your family. So, you know, we're still on the plantation, people. So I really hope that people wake up and realize that what's really going on out here. The struggle continues. I think so many people have, you know, become so complacent and just feeling like, you know, you got a couple of quarters to rub together and, you know, everything is fine, but as we can see, it's not. Anybody watching President Obama's town hall that he's having? I know you're not checking it out, Satellite.
No.
Goodness gracious. I mean, Lord, somebody please get this man a teleprompter. He does a lot better with a teleprompter. If you just let him speak off the cuff, it's just like, duh, 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 duh.
Really?
I don't know. God, yes. Oh, my Lord. I can't stand to hear him speak without the teleprompter. Oh, I can't stand it. But anyway, welcome into the Lotus Place. We are here tonight. It's Wednesday, September 28th. Going into the end of the month, going into October, almost the end of the year. And I really want to mention this quickly before we jump into the show. If you looked at the title of the show, we are talking, tonight is our Black Thought and Black Talk night, and / Marcus Garvey pardon. Marcus Garvey, Dr. Marcus Garvey's son, the Honorable Marcus, y'all got to forgive me, I'm just completely worn out. But there's a petition. The Honorable Marcus Garvey's son, Dr. Garvey, has petitioned President Obama to pardon Marcus Garvey. You know, Marcus Garvey was brought up on mail fraud. What's his name?
I'm sorry, but something is going on to where I just lost your voice, Black Rose. Now, I'm seeing that it should be working, but I'm not hearing your voice. And so I've been having problems with Skype. And if I can't hear you, then the listeners on Black Talk Radio can't hear you. So I'm going to have to try to use the flash phone. I'm sorry for these problems, but your audio just went out. But I can see that the board is picking you up. It's just we're not picking you up on this end. So just bear with me as I try to connect through the other line and hang up on this conference line.
Okay.
Okay, now this I just heard you. Okay, it's back now.
You can
now.
Hear me?
Yes, I can hear
Yay.
You. Yay. Okay, go ahead. Sorry about
Yay.
That.
Yay. Not a problem. Not a problem at all. While you're on the line, Scotty, though, can you just give us a little quick update about what's going on up in North Carolina? Anything, any protests? You know, I don't see
there was,
on the news or on Twitter about it.
There was some protests at the college, the university, what was that, UNCC, not the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, but the one that's in Charlotte, UNCC. There were about 400 people, students, activists who were protesting, they said, against systemic racism in the system. There have just been a lot of stuff that I've been seeing that has been going on, but nothing major. But the Charlotte NAACP leader, Minister Corinne Scott, she did have to have a press conference and tell these reporters and stuff, I don't want to hear about Mr. Keith Lamont Scott's past. He was just sitting in the car the day he was killed. So we know that whenever black men get shot, the first thing they do is demonize them. So I don't care to hear about his past.
That's good. I am glad to hear that, too. That's right. That always happens, just slandering the dead, slandering the victim and all of that. And nobody wants to hear all of that.
As if to justify the killing,
Exactly,
know?
Exactly. I mean, who was that? Somebody said if you're a black man in America, you almost automatically will have some type of charge the way they're pulling us over all the time and trying to make certain that black men have felonies, people have felonies, period, so that they can't vote, can't have any rights, or whatever the case may be, just to, again, have some slaves working, so...
And they also start with young children. You remember how they were questioning those young boys, looked like they were about 7 or 8 years old?
who were attending the protest. I mean, they weren't doing anything, but they were writing down their names, putting it in the data system. The policemen.
Right.
Doing the protest. Mm-hmm. This latest protest. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so the police officer was, like, I never did really watch the video. I did see it come up in, like, my Twitter feed. But,
okay.
Like,
yeah, there were about three or four young boys. Looked like they were about 7, 8. And you know how there's a protest going on with this latest shooting, and the kids are just kind of like seeing what's going on, you know, riding by. And so there is these two cops stop them and say, "Let me get your name." And so this black guy was saying, "Why are you asking them for their names? Leave those children alone." And he kept on, you know, writing down the names. What's your name? Where do you live? You know, they weren't doing anything. And later on, I found out that they sent the FBI to the guys to the guy's home. The one that was interfering. The one that was saying, "Why are you asking them? Why are you stopping them? Leave them alone." The police had the FBI come to his home to ask him to turn himself in for obstructing justice.
I did see the guy's post on Instagram, and he spoke about how the police, the FBI agents came to his house questioning him. But I thought that you can question children without an adult, and then furthermore, they weren't doing anything. They were
standing outside. Doing anything.
So they didn't have to give him the children didn't have to give the police officer their name anyway. They're not a victim. They weren't a victim of a crime. They were not committing a crime. So why do they have to give their names?
And that's what the guy was saying. Why do they have to give their name?
Yeah, they don't have to give their names. Those children are terrified, and you don't need to harass them like that. Hmm. And that's just crazy and insane.
Mm-mm. As usual.
Right, but please go online and sign this petition. Today is the last day, if I'm not mistaken.
Give it again. Justice.
Yes, it is Justice, the number 4, Garvey, G-A-R-V-Y. We are asking that President Obama, before he leaves office, to pardon Marcus Garvey, the Honorable Marcus Garvey. President Obama, I saw you wagging your finger and talking all greasy to everybody, the black people. You know, he always talks greasy to the black people when he talks about, pull up your bootstraps, take off your house shoes, and put on your marching boots, and get up and vote, and all this.
And vote for Hillary.
Yeah, and vote for Hillary.
And honor my legacy.
And honor my legacy. And all of this stuff. And, you know, what you can do for us, since I really haven't seen you do much, is pardon Marcus Garvey, Mumia Abdul-Jamal, and Jack Johnson. If you can do that, Obama, I will leave you alone. I will not say too much about you anymore. If you could just do those three things, please. And so not only do I plan on signing this petition, I will call that White House. I used to have a number on my phone. I took it out because I just said forget him. But I will call the White House, and I will write a letter. So we're asking, the Lotus Place Radio is asking everyone to also take part in this action. This is a Lotus Place action. Sign the petition, Justice for Garvey, and you know, pick up that phone, call the White House. What happens is an operator will pick up the phone. You just briefly tell them, give them your message, and that's it. It takes like about a couple of seconds. You don't have to go into a long, drawn-out spiel. Just say, we want to ask President Obama to please pardon Mark Scarvey. Okay, that's all you got to say. And then they'll say, okay, we'll write that down, blah, 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 and that's it. I've done it a million times. So just call, write a letter, sign a petition, whichever one you can do, but definitely sign a petition. That only takes like a minute. Okay, so please do that. And it would be super great if he would pardon also, have Mumia released, and also pardon Jack Johnson. Jack Johnson, the black heavyweight boxer. That would be great. Right. So I know I was speaking to someone today, and they said, well, he's not going to do it. He's not going to do it. Well, you know what? He may not, but at least we can say we did pressure him before he left office. Because that's the thing, you know, we talk about what he's done for gay people and this and that and all, but those people have pressured him. They have consistently pressured him. And so we have to pressure him. Do we expect him just to do it just because he's conscious? No.
No.
He would have, then that would have been one of the first things he would have done when he sat down, when he signed that Lilly Ledbetter.
Right.
He would have pardoned Garvey. So we have to put pressure on him, and we have to demand that he does this before he leaves office. If you want a legacy for us to remember, then I would say do that. Do something like that. Marcus Garvey influenced Malcolm X, Dr. King, and so many others. And if we honor these leaders today, then why shouldn't we honor the person that inspired them?
Right.
The person that started the largest black movement in this country. So, you know, that needs to happen. That just needs to happen. And it would just be a sin and a shame, like my grandmother used to say, if we had this black man in office and he can at least do something like that to honor this great person. All right. So I'll pick back up on that. I want to know if you guys are going to see Birth of a Nation. If you're going to see it, call in and let us know. If you plan on going to see it, I do plan on going to see it when I go home. You want to go see it, Feather?
Oh, Birth definitely.
You know I do.
I do. I know the history of the original Birth of a Nation, the Ku Klux Klan movie honoring the Ku Klux Klan. So this will be our Birth of a Nation, and it will take place of that one. When they speak of Birth of a Nation, they will speak of Nat Turner.
Right.
Yes, it's high time that we had a movie. Nat Turner.
Right. So I am going to see it for historical purposes, and the whole deal with Nate Turner and the sexual assault situation, he wasn't convicted, so he was acquitted. I'm going to see it, and that's what it is. I'm going to see it. You want to read us your poem? You have a poem, Feather?
Yes, I do. Let's see, hold on. Get that for you. Okay, so let me sit up so you can hear my voice. I'm all relaxed, chilling. All right, this is called Standing Ovation. She dazzles them with her bright smile and her infectious laughter. She is timid, yet bold and fierce, passionate about what she loves, and cold to the bone about what she detests. She is adorned with the most fashionable jewelry. She clothes herself with flattering and tasteful attire. Her natural beauty is exotic, with hair that defies gravity in all its glory. Her skin, the envy of many. She is light on her feet and dances on stage with the grace of a gazelle as she performs for the world crowd. She accomplishes feats of amazement even at the worst of times without missing a beat. At the end of the show, she takes her bow and smiles broadly at the applause. As the lights dim and the curtain closes, she exits the stage and returns to her dressing room, where she removes her makeup and puts her smile on the vanity and cries. Give that woman a standing ovation for yet another stellar performance on the stage of life. It is more than speculation that she is a mother of civilization. Her lips may be full and luscious. Her hips may move in tune with the rhythm of the universe. Her strength and endurance unmatchable. This is all true. But she is scorned by many and ridiculed by more than a few. She is the least respected, least protected, and
Even those who resemble her throw dust in her eyes. So after her daily show, when she removes her smile, she cries. She has forgotten this is her play. Through her thoughts, she creates the scene at hand. She is the director, executive producer, star, and leader of the band. Everyone else is an extra and can be dropped at her command. But on this night, as she lay down to slumber with the confusion, doubts, and inner chatter laid to rest, she was able to hear her higher self whisper after yet another major test. Change the script. Change your thoughts. Change your thoughts. Change the script. It's still time to rewrite. Curtain call. Encore. You're on. Spotlight. Namaste.
You know what, Featherlight, I am going to find one of these spoken word places for you so that you can go and perform, because you are a truly a one woman show.
You know, I have just started speaking on this show. I don't do
I know how to bring out the best in people. That's my gift.
You do.
I know how to bring out the best in people. I do. I know talent when I see it, and I just develop it.
You should. I mean, this is like maybe the third time I said that this poem to myself in this bedroom, so I can do it on this show.
Well, thank you so much. That was a beautiful, beautiful piece. Let me give you one more hand.
Thank you. I'm taking a bow.
And
I'm bowing.
Yes,
I'm bowing.
You should. Let's welcome in. Let me see. I think we have. I know this is not Delta. Is this Delta?
Hey, everybody. How everybody doing tonight?
Hey, Delta.
Lovely.
Look. We have Icy Hot also.
I'm glad to be back on. This
well,
been
hey
while.
There. We're back on schedule.
Be still my beating heart.
No, ladies and
you were wonderful,
oh,
as Ashura said, as Black Rose says.
Thank you.
So many topics.
Thank
yeah,
you.
Well, are y'all ladies going to let me in, or y'all going to do all the talking?
Delta, I know your lips were twitching and your feet were bumping and jumping. Delta, I know Delta. And somebody, I told you, someone sent a message to me on Scotty's BTR social media site. I just messaged a friend of mine on Facebook and told him he needed to sign up for this BTR. And you too, Delta, since you like to post so much. be sure you sign up for it. I might do that for you. I might get you one.
Yeah, send me the link.
Okay, I'm going to send it to you. And tell your grandchildren to get on it, too. But what's up, Delta? You have a hot topic for us?
I sure do. Most certainly do. Well, now, y'all know they just had another shooting. I know Scotty probably told you that about it down in South Carolina. And what I'm saying, they had a young
he's
white boy.
He's in North Kakalaki. He's not in South Carolina. He's in North Carolina. But anyway,
well, see,
yeah.
The news people got it wrong then, because that's what they got posted.
Well, no, the shooting happened in South Carolina. I'm saying Scotty is in North Carolina.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm. But go ahead on.
Well, the young man, shooting. I want to make a comment. Now, he killed his father, and before he went to the school, he killed the father. He went on down to the school and killed two more people. Now, they trying to say that he got issues. He got some serious issues. Now, the young lady, and I'm trying to make a comparison, the young lady in California called the police on her brother. And she told the police three times that her brother did not have any weapons, her brother was mentally ill, that he needed help. She stressed to them, my brother do not have any weapons, he is mentally ill. And the young man, he took and posed like he was drawing a gun with his hands, you know, like just his hands. Mm-hmm. And they shot him dead. They shot him five times dead. And now you can get a young white boy, travel from the house and kill the daddy, go to the school and shoot up kids, and yet he come out alive. This young woman told you that he has a mental illness. Mm-hmm. And you gonna shoot him down like a dog. Okay, if you knew he got mental illness, why you didn't call Amulet on the scene so somebody could try to talk to him?
His
sister said he was having an episode. Mm-hmm. So evidently she has seen this before.
Didn't he have an epileptic episode or something like that? It wasn't even like a mental breakdown, I thought.
Is this the sister saying he had like a seizure. But mm-hmm. then she also said today, I watched her today on the news and mm-hmm. on Facebook, she was crying, and she called the law, but she said her brother was mentally ill.
Well, did she say why she called him?
Huh?
Did she say why she called? I mean,
yeah,
what was she doing?
She said he was walking and acting crazy. She said that he was having an episode. So that's what I was getting ready to relate to. So evidently she has seen this behavior before, and she knew that he needed to be hospitalized.
Right.
So she called, because a lot of times when they do that, they go off the medication.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
that's why she said he was having an episode. Because I have a friend who has a son, and her son goes into an episode, and we goes and tell her, and she have called the AM service, and they comes and pick her son up and takes him away and hospitalize him. But they mm-hmm. go through the psychotic state because they be off their medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And this is and when she said episode, I know exactly what she meant, because mm-hmm. I have a nephew, my niece has a son, and he's been mentally ill. They diagnosed him from a little bit of boy with bipolar and schizophrenia, and he just is normal, but when he's not taking his medicine, they go to hallucinating. So mm-hmm. this is what the young lady was saying when she said that he had an episode. So if she's telling you you have an episode, don't you know the police should have called the AM service?
I don't see why we keep calling the police in the first place.
Yeah, I don't think that they're required to do that. Hey, but let's take a quick break and let's pick back up on this, because we keep talking about this with these families, family members that keep calling the police. Only in Memphis right now that I know of, Memphis is the only city whereas police do not come out if someone is having a mental breakdown. Memphis is the only city. Other cities, you cannot call 911.
And see, that need to be inactive in other states.
Well, family members that have families that have someone that has mental issues, they need to lobby for that. People need to get up off their lazy tired.
They do. They really do.
What they need. You know, your family member kind of cuckoo, got a little issue going on. So, you know, provide the services that they need. That's right. Stop calling the police. Why y'all keep calling the police? Like I said,
you know what they're coming from.
Earlier, Delta. What, does she not have a TV? Has she not seen what's been happening with people when they call the police? like that mother that called the police on her son because he was having a breakdown, and then when the police came and shot him and killed him right in front of her, then she go to holler, "Oh, Lord Jesus, y'all done shot him and killed." Well, you call the police. That's what they trying to do, shoot and kill.
Yeah, exactly.
Crazy. Don't make no sense. Let's take a break.
The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium. You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio, the new black media for the new millennium.
John Coltrane, one of my favorite artists, musicians, and that is like my favorite song, that and My Favorite Things by John Coltrane, whose birthday was September 23rd. Very, very, very prominent musician that inspired many other people, just fabulous. We'll talk more about John Coltrane also celebrating his life. So now, Delta, you're talking about the woman calling the police.
But can I
her.
Give this breaking news story that just came up on my phone, y'all?
Okay, Delta.
I know. Please let me give this one because I'll forget. Marley, if I'm saying it right,
Marley?
The singer.
Bob yes. Marley? Mm-hmm.
Yes. His wife came over to the United States, and she was in some part of Florida going to do a speaking engagement.
Mm-hmm.
And she went to some restaurant and ate dinner, and she had a massive stroke.
Mm-hmm.
And she's in critical condition. Now, don't y'all think that's awful strange? She's going to come here to the States and then go and eat at a restaurant and all of a sudden have a massive stroke. Do y'all think that's kind of strange?
Bob Marley's wife, I think he had a few wives. I wonder which one.
Yeah, yeah.
Because one of his wives died in, I think, like 81.
Well, they talking, you know, they said this is his wife and she
Bob
came
Marley?
To give a... Yeah, the singer that died.
Uh-huh.
His wife. It's on my Facebook. It's breaking news story. And it's by Miss Kizzy, the black news lady. It's a black lady that has a news station, and she comes with all the breaking story, and she broke it on her blog news show.
Okay.
But she was down in Florida. So what I'm saying is, I think that's awful strange for her to come to go speak somewhere. Then she goes out to dinner. After dinner, she gets sick. Now she had a massive stroke.
Rita
and
Marley.
So what I'm saying.
Her name is Rita Marley.
Yes. So what I'm saying is, don't y'all think that's awful suspicious?
How is it suspicious to you?
Well, what I'm saying, these people, if they activists and they speak their mind and on black things and different things.
Oh, okay.
I just don't trust them anymore.
I know what you mean. Yeah.
I just don't trust them.
Hmm.
I just don't trust them. So I'm skeptical of them.
Okay.
And that's what I mean about that. I just don't trust them.
But I thought she died in the 80s. I'm trying to look this up, but no, she did.
No, this is...
Okay. Go ahead.
And I wanted to get that out there because I heard y'all on mission... I heard many times on the radio show y'all have mentioned his name. That's why I brought that up.
Okay. I hadn't seen anything come up about that. You said it's on your Facebook page, though.
Yeah, she's... I see it. She's 70-year-old Rita Marley. She came to Miami to attend an event, but it had to be canceled because she had a severe stroke.
Mm-hmm.
She's had one before.
Oh, okay. But did you see she was out eating dinner? I'm just skeptical of them, y'all. Y'all don't taught me to be.
We have to be. Yeah, we have to be.
I'm so glad. Oh, okay, I do see it now. Okay, this is September 21st, 2016. Okay, but anyway, let's go back to your story you were speaking on about the person having a mental health crisis in California. Everybody's
yeah.
Been talking about that today, too.
So she called him. And they showed the video. It was on the World News tonight. And the young man, she said that her brother had just been walking, and he was acting, he wasn't acting himself. He was acting crazy. So she said that she tried to assist her brother, and she couldn't assist her brother. So she goes in the house to call the law. And she called the law, and when she called the law, they came. But this the thing, she said she warned them several times, and she said that he did not have a gun. He wasn't gonna harm anyone. He needed help for his mental issues. But when the police approached him, the young man, which is mentally ill, he made a stand with his hands like he had a gun, and it's showing on the tape. He's standing like he got a gun, got his hands, but it was nothing in his hands, and they shot him 5 times. So what I'm saying is, why they didn't send the AMS service to get the man? That's what I'm saying. Instead of sending the law. She untold him that he was unarmed. He was having a psychotic breakdown. He needed help.
Delta. What is the AMS service?
Oh, down south, it's the ambulance.
Okay, well, that's why I wanted to clarify, because when you dial 911, which is probably what she did, then the police, ambulance, and fire department will come out. Unless she called just for ambulance service directly.
Exactly.
But if she knew already that her brother had some mental issues, she should have had on her refrigerator, like we used to do back in the day, you have those specific crisis numbers that you call.
Mm-hmm.
Because if he has some mental issues and he has a doctor, he has
right.
a psychiatrist or somebody
right.
that he's been seeing, or she
right.
could have just simply had a crisis number on the refrigerator. Now, if that does not sound logical, somebody please let me know, because I don't know everything.
Yep.
I'm here to learn also. But, I mean...
And then also in the neighborhood, Black Rose, in the neighborhood, years ago, like I told you, we have a friend around the corner from my mother. Her son he's really, really mentally ill. And he just is... He's a college-educated boy, but all of a sudden, I mean, he had a good job. And I must say, he broke up with this white girl. I just got to tell the story because this is what his mother said. He
wait
broke
minute,
up with
Delta.
The white
hold on,
girl.
Hold on,
and
I'm not about Delta, wait a minute, Delta. You're going from one story to the next now. Wait a second. Let's deal with, because you had two stories for us. We were talking about the California story and then South Carolina. Now you're talking about this other one, your friend.
Let's deal with these first two. And I think some people may have some comments. So, do you want to pick back up on the South Carolina? We never did get the full story on that.
Okay, what I'm saying, the young man, they already trying to claim in South Carolina, the young man have mental issues. So what I'm trying to say is, why they always get saved, mm-hmm. and the man in California get shot down like a dog? This is what I'm saying. This is what making me so angry. You
well,
say
what,
that
what,
you
what,
always.
What gets me, Delta? I see your point, and I mean, but we know this. We know that there is a different set of laws for Europeans versus people of color, us. So what I'm saying is, it starts with us. And when we have someone who has mental problems, as Black Rose said, why do we consistently call the people that we know will take them out? We know that they can be standing on the corner selling cigarettes, records. They could be sitting in the car waiting to pick up their son. They could be having car problems.
The store.
Yes, the car is stopped in the middle of the street. Boom, 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 bam, bam, bam. You know, we're talking funeral service. So why do we call when there's some mental issues? All of us got them. I have them. Why do we call the police, who we know is not our friend?
How was she? Only way she could get help. What she was saying is basically, this is my understanding. Basically, what she was saying, she tried to go out there and help him, and I guess she couldn't get him. You know, to
I get that.
But what we're saying is, why would you call the police? They're not qualified to handle a mental patient. They're not qualified for that.
No, they're not.
They're qualified to handle crime. And somebody
right.
has a mental breakdown, that's not a criminal act. That's
exactly.
a mental health crisis, a mental health
right.
situation. So why would you call the police?
Because, like you said, Black Rose, in Tennessee, in Memphis, I mean, in
mm-hmm.
Memphis, you said that you know that's the only state that have a
right.
name of the call
exactly, and so
mentally
right.
ill.
But and my
but
point
who else would she dial? Because
I just said it. If she knew that her brother had issues, didn't he have a doctor? Didn't they already have a psychiatrist on hand to call, or just have the 1-800 crisis number people? Call them.
But
how's
she gonna get him in the car?
She don't have to get him in the car. You go and call somebody. You call the mental the crisis line. Hey, my brother's having an issue. He's thinking about killing.
They know what to do.
Yeah, they know what to do. We don't know what to do, but they know what to do. Let me tell you something. Okay, here we go. My aunt, in Florida. Her family used to think that her children used to think that she was having a mental crisis. They never called the police. They called the mental service people or whatever, and they would come with the straitjacket, and they would do what's called Baker Act, B-A-K-E-R. You can have someone Baker Act. They can go voluntarily or involuntarily. But if somebody calls for the services to come, you automatically have to go, I think, for 7 days, and they evaluate you, and they treat you.
Right, exactly.
So that's why I'm saying, why are people... Why are you calling the police? They're not qualified for that. They, quote unquote, fight crime.
Okay,
so,
but can I tell you? But can I tell you how my state go in Mississippi, if you don't mind? What we have to do when we have a mental ill patient.
Okay.
In my state, we have to go to the judge if we want them picked up and they having an issue. We have to go to the judge. the judge has to sign an order. And once the judge signs the order in the state of Mississippi, we have to, when the judge signs the order, they send the sheriff. That's how it goes in our state. In my state, they don't send mental health keepers to pick them up. They send the sheriff.
Why do you even need to go to a judge for that? Why can't you, once it goes back to, why can't you call a crisis center? Why do you even have to put the courts in the whole center?
Right, exactly.
Why can't you just call
because
a crisis
if they
center?
Won't go on their own, this is how it goes, like you said. If when they won't go on their own, you have to have them committed. In order to have them committed, the judge has to give an order, and the judge have them hold for 72 hours to get an evaluation in the hospital.
Right. That, okay, 72-hour hold. That's a Baker Act. That's what that is.
Yes.
That's the Baker Act. It's a 72-hour hold. But still, okay, we're going back and forth on what she should have done. We already know what she should not have done, and that's called the police. So, but now this shooting that you're talking about in South Carolina, just for anybody that doesn't know about it, it was a shooting in South Carolina at a school, and apparently the teenager opened fire at an elementary school playground, wounded two students and a teacher. So that's the story that you were referring to, and the young man was taken into custody, Delta? Okay, so the young man was taken into custody, and all of that, blah, 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 could really care less. I mean, honestly, I really can. I mean, I don't care. I really just do not care, because all of this stuff just keeps happening, and, I mean, it is what it is.
Okay, let me say this, Black Rose, about the Baker Act for Delta. The Baker Act, it can be initiated by judges, like you just said, law enforcement officials, which we know that doesn't work, physicians, or mental health professionals. So you have more than just the judges and the police to go to carry this through. You don't have to go to the judge or police. Physicians or mental health professionals can do it also.
Now, is that nationwide, or is that just for Florida?
Well, this is for Florida here.
Yeah, because each state is different.
Well, I would say this. If you know that you have a family member that has some mental issues, check out your state's rights and see what options you have, just in case your family member has a breakdown, because we know that people are having these mental breakdowns now for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And so we just need to take those. See, we're so reactionary. That's the problem.
We really are. We really are.
We don't prepare.
We're waiting until something happens.
Right. You know.
And then we'll do the wrong thing.
Issues. Exactly. You know your family member has issues. So be prepared for that, people. Stop calling the police on your family member when you know that they have some mental issues. Give them the proper help that they need so that you won't be planning a funeral.
Right.
And see, that is correct. But this is what I was trying to say about the friend around the corner from my mother. This is what I'm trying to say.
Make it quick, Delta, because we're not going to take a whole lot of time on these stories. Make it quick.
No,
make
what I'm we have other here. Stories. The whole community, when they know someone is ill and sick in the whole community, what I'm saying, should get involved and help look out for the young man.
Yeah, I agree with you. I totally
that's
agree.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying we do with this lady around the corner. When we see her son is having an episode, all of us in the community try to get together and help her with her son.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying they should have done in California.
Certainly should have. Let me see. I think we may have a caller. Caller from 973.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, good evening. You guys were talking. My name is Jersey Girl from Jersey. You guys were talking earlier about in that Turner film. I had an opportunity. I'm not going to tell you about it, but in any case, I had an opportunity to go a private screening in Hoboken, New Jersey. Yes. Mm-hmm. And let me just tell you, the film is wonderful, very graphic. I'm happy to report I'm with the People's Organization for Progress. We're a grassroots organization here in New Jersey.
And oh, yes. I'm familiar with that.
Yeah. And here in New Jersey, in Newark, New Jersey specifically, we're the only, we have a Nat Turner Park, and it's the only park in the state, I mean, in the United States. And so we're very happy that the name is coming out. He was born on October 2nd, 1835, and we're really happy that people are going to learn about Nat Turner. And please do some more reading. There's a lot more to this man than meets the eye. The film is very graphic, very good. I mean, you know, a little here and there, but a good friend. I actually brought my daughter with me when she's 17. She's the first time her opportunity to really see a full-length film in terms of slavery. She didn't get to see Roots or 10 Years a Slave, but she really was cheering on when, you know, the slaves started to revolt in the quarter. So that was really good. So it is a good film. Hopefully when you guys do see it, we can probably have some more dialogue. But I do recommend the film. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for holding, and thank you for calling. And I tell you what, call back or listen in on next Wednesday, and I will give my review, the Lotus Place review, on Birth of a Nation, because I am going to see that this weekend. I'm so
this also, it had nothing to do with Birth of a Nation. I think that was a great marketing tool to get the people, and it was just totally opposite of Birth of a Nation.
I knew
it had nothing to do with that, but it's good that he did it, because I think it was the Birth of a Nation, because in a sense, without slavery, there wouldn't have been a nation anyway, you know. So in any case. Okay, thank you so much.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for calling me. All right. Yes, I'm going to see that. Delta, you taking your grandchildren to go see it?
No, I hadn't even thought about it. But you know what? Listen at the young lady. I must take my grandchildren, because you know what? My grandchildren hadn't seen nothing about slavery. So I think I will get my older grandkids, my 17-year-old, my 15-year-old, and my 12-year-old, and my 9-year-old. And I think we should. I think we should. This need to be an eye-opener for them, so they can see and understand what our ancestors had to go through with, because they don't understand. They truly don't understand about slavery. So, and I'll give my report, too.
Yes, we should give a review. But let me ask Eisenhower, what do you think? You think this film would be appropriate for children? Do you plan on taking your children? Do you plan on seeing it?
It absolutely is appropriate for the children. They have to understand things at an earlier age now. Just like you gave that example of that police officer that was taking those children's names down over in North Carolina, I think it was. They have to learn early on the dynamics of this white male power system. They have to. So my 7-year-old and my 9-year-old will definitely be there.
Right.
Good for you.
I'm
taking them.
Right.
You have to. I mean, they're experiencing this stuff already in school.
Already, yes.
I had to explain to my first grader last year about the poor little Emmett Till situation. And it was just, I couldn't even believe what this white man wrote on him about him trying to kiss a little girl on the playground, and another little black boy and a little white boy was trying to stop him from kissing this little girl on the playground who was white. And he gave the little black boy a nosebleed. Now, my boy tells me a little bit different story. He said he wasn't trying to kiss that girl. she had hit him, and he was just trying to, and he said she hit hard too. And these girls do play rough. His kindergarten year, a little girl kicked him in the eye, gave him a black eye.
Oh my God.
The teacher said, well, he's always bothering the girls, and he deserved it. He shouldn't have been I thought, oh my God, that is abuse if I ever seen any.
Yeah.
And so this is what our children, these are black children, are having to put up with. As soon as they hit that school, this is what they do, because they got structures in place within the schools already to start the prison to pipeline. So you better take your children early and start explaining this stuff to them, so they will understand you're not trying to keep them from no white girl. What you're trying to do is save their lives.
Hello.
Right.
You better say that. You better say that.
I
see.
They're looking at everything else. They're looking at everything else.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Hey, so you better teach them that.
Let's pick back up. You better teach them that. And I know Delta was, she shared with us last night a story about something that happened with some children, a young black girl on the bus. I want you to briefly share that if you can, Delta. We'll take a break and we will
happened out in Texas. And it was on the news. It was on Facebook. It always hit Facebook, and then I see it on the news. What happened was this young
black
girl.
Wait a minute, Delta. We're going to take a quick break. Come back with that story.
No, I'm not a writer.
Okay.
Black Talk Radio, since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
For My People by Margaret Walker Alexander. For my people everywhere, singing their slave songs repeatedly, their dirges and their ditties and their blues and jubilees, praying their prayers nightly to an unknown God, and bending their knees humbly to an unseen power. For my people lending their strength to the years, to the now years and the gone years and the maybe years, washing, ironing, cooking, scrubbing, sewing, mending, hoeing, digging, planting, pruning, patching, dragging along, never gaining, never knowing, never reaping, and never understanding. For my playmates in the clay and dust and sand of Alabama black yards, playing, preaching, and doctor and jail and soldier and school and mama and cooking and playhouse and concert and store and Miss Toomby and Hare and Company. For the cramped, bewildered years, we went to school to learn to know the reasons why, and the answers to, and the people who, and the places where, and the days when. In memory of the bitter hours when we discovered we were black and poor and small and different, and nobody cared and nobody understood. For the boys and girls who grew in spite of these things to be man and woman, to laugh and dance and sing and play and drink their wine and religion and success, to marry their playmates and bear children and then die of consumption and anemia and lynching. For my people Zwinging 47th Street in Chicago, or Lenox Avenue in New York, or Rampart Street in New Orleans, Lord.
Oh, I'm going to have to start saying Chicago. Oh, I just love the way she says it. Chicago. Oh, Lord have mercy. I can't wait till I start talking like Nina Simone. And, oh, Lord. Don't be mad, people, when you hear my new speaking voice for the Notice Place Radio. And I will say, Chicago. That was one of my favorite poems by Margaret Walker. The first time I heard that poem, I was taking an African-American literature class. And when I read that, I was like, ooh, I just love this. I would just read it and read it and read it. And, oh, my God, it's a beautiful poem.
It is.
You can find it on YouTube or just Google it and hear the rest of the poem. It's about 5 minutes long. So I know we have more commentary to be shared. Before we pick back up on some of our topics and hot news topics, I want to share with everyone my experience this week. I'm here in Ohio, in Cleveland, but I drove up to Columbus, Ohio, with someone else. We participated in this demonstration at the city council meeting in Columbus, Ohio. And in Columbus, Ohio, Tyree King, the little young boy, I think he was only like 12 or 13, and another young man named Henry Green, they've both been recently assassinated by the police there. So I just want to give a shout out to the Ohio students, because it was a diverse group. And when I say diverse, I'm talking white, black, Asian, Mexican, just all kinds of people, young, old, people from the faith community, people from the streets, me from Houston, Texas, person I went with is from California. So we went up to Columbus, Ohio, and there was a demonstration to ask the city council to divest in this summer safety initiative. It's called the Summer Strike Force, in which the students were asking for the city to reinvest the entire budget into community-based violence prevention strategies, trauma and recovery services, and youth programming, as opposed to spending over $300 million on the police department. So they want that budget to move to these initiatives to help people and not fund the police department, not overly fund the police department. So the demonstration took place at the city council. We went in, and of course, I missed this part because I got to leave out for a second. But of course, when the national anthem was played, everybody stood up and said, "Take a knee for Tyree." And everybody just got on one knee, like Colin Kaepernick. That protest is spreading everywhere. I missed that part. I came in right after that. I was like, that dog. I was trying to hurry up and go take care of my little business I had to take care of so that I wouldn't miss a thing. But anyway, I missed that part. Nevertheless, while we were in there, and so the city council proceeded with their meeting, talking about blah, 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 as normal, nothing. Mm-hmm. And so, why did my screen go blank? And so then all of a sudden, one of the members of the faith community stood up, and he just spoke out and just interrupted the speaker, saying, you know, it's a crying shame that we're having young people being shot down in the street. Take that money from the police, blah, blah, blah. And so please don't do that. And so anyway, so after that, then they continued with the meeting. And that's when the whole demonstration started, when one of the speakers stood up, one of the people in the crowd, one of the demonstrators stood up and said, we want you to take that money from the police officers and put it back into the community. Tyree King and Henry Green were shot and killed by police officers, and we want you to tell us right now that you're going to put that money into the community. And, of course, the city council president
tried to shut it down. But I'm telling you, these young people continue to stand up. We all stood up. We started saying saying justice for Tyree and Henry Green. Tyree King's mother spoke, and she is actually a veteran. She served in the military, and she said that it's a shame that she served in the military and her son was killed, and people want to act as if nothing happened. When I tell you that these young students took over that city council meeting and ran the city council members out of chambers, they did. The city council members, the students stormed their desks. They stood up on the tables until all the city council members had to evacuate the building. The police surrounded us, and they threatened to arrest all of us and all of this nonsense. But everybody stood firm, and they said, "We will be back." So when they go back, I am going back with them. I am so proud of them. Ohio students, they were not afraid at all. And so what they say here, let me just read just a little bit of this. They said that they don't trust the police to investigate themselves. They want an independent investigation. They want an independent investigation. They want a collaborative agreement to work with them and stakeholders. Let's see. The city of Columbus is asking for an additional $33.4 million on the bond package for police facility improvements. They want those funds to instead be put towards facilities for trauma recovery and healing services in neighborhoods hardest hit by violence. I totally agree with that, because I find it quite interesting that when the black community was assaulted with crack cocaine being dumped in our communities, there was no help. All you could see is black people being arrested on the nightly news. That's what we had to view. But now that right. there's a heroin epidemic, there have been like two cases that we've just seen in the news, even though this stuff has been going on for a while. In the news, you've seen there was this a white grandmother and her husband. They had the grandchild in the back seat. They OD'd, and so this picture went viral. Then there was another lady that OD'd in the store, and her little baby is trying to revive her. And so President Obama has somehow magically come up with this bill to assist people that are heroin addicts, and these resources will also go for them having housing. Now, when our people want crack, stealing and trying to, oh God, just, I mean, we all know what the crack epidemic did to our community. Right. Nothing was in place to help our people except for incarceration. But now right. all of a sudden you can write a bill for all of these millions of dollars to be available for people that are on heroin.
Well, mostly it's just, Europeans.
Yeah, it's just not right. So anyway, I just wanted to mention that about Tyree King and Henry Green. It was a fantastic, awesome, amazing demonstration. I'm just so proud of them, and I'm glad that I was able to be a part of that demonstration, because that's what we have to do. We have to shut it down. We have to let these people know we're not going. And
right.
You stop taking our tax dollars and doing whatever the hell you want to do with them.
Exactly, yes.
Mm-hmm. No way, no way. So,
well, give yourself a little applaud thing, because that's good. You represent it.
Mm-hmm.
You represent it. Good.
Yep. Well, I was just doing what we're supposed to do. And Serena Williams, I'll give some applause to Serena Williams, because Serena Williams said that she can't sit by and be quiet and watch all of this police brutality. So let me get my girl. A hand, because I just love her. I just love her. Black power. Yes, she's.
But can I make a comment?
Yes, Delta, what's up?
Can I make a comment?
What's up, Delta? Delta, we waiting.
Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry. I can't hardly hear my. I dropped my phone. I told you, I'm sorry. No, what I was saying, I was listening at what you were saying, that President Obama don't. They didn't have money for the crack in our community. Now y'all may not like what I'm saying, but don't you think? Huh?
Go ahead, Delta.
Okay, no. What I'm saying is, don't you? No, because I was listening at Roland Martin, and what I'm saying is, come, mm-hmm. we got to get out, and he said you got to vote a lot of these people's not in the presidency. He said, but in the local office, we got to move a lot of these mayors and different things. So what I'm saying, a lot of them people may have came out in protest in that community and got things changed.
What do you mean got things changed?
Like for money, for instance. Like what I'm saying, a lot of those white people probably got together and went down and protested and demanded money for this heroin epidemic.
Right. That's all fine and well. I'm totally not tripping, but my thing is you know what crack did to our communities. So why are you allocating that money for heroin addicts? We still have some residual effects from the crack epidemic. Don't act like it's not there, Obama
right.
and the rest of these politicians. So slide a little money our way too. That's
right.
I'm not mad at gay people for advocating for what they want, their rights in their marriage. I'm not mad. All I'm saying is we need to also have some of that money too, but we do, Delta. We need to demand for it, just like we need to demand that Marcus Garvey is pardoned. So yeah, maybe we should speak up and say, hey, look, like you say, for instance, we were talking about this the other night. All of these grandmothers that's taking care of these children, hey, they need some help. So like you provide resources for these heroin addicts, so because their parents can't or don't
right.
take care of them, then these grandmothers that are taking care of their children's children, because they're incarcerated, they were incarcerated for having three rocks of crack or whatever, crack rocks or whatever it is. So can the grandmother get a little help?
Right, exactly, yeah. I can
that's
see
all
that.
I'm saying. Yeah, that's all I'm saying. Can you get my little crackhead recovering daughter some housing? Can she get an apartment?
Mm-hmm.
And some job training so she can get her life on track like you're doing for the little heroin addict.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm saying. What do you think about that, Delta?
Okay, not all. No, not all.
Not all what?
I agree with you 100%. But I think a lot of our kids in our community, we as a community, we got to get together and motivate our kids.
But what does that got to do with the crack epidemic? Why don't they motivate their children? Then they don't need any money to motivate their children. They need to do that themselves.
Asking
for the same resources that they're receiving for their heroin addicted children. So if we need to motivate our children, then they need to motivate their children without government assistance. Without welfare. You motivate your children without welfare.
What makes them better?
What I was saying is, like, can we, like, in some kind of way, can we go in our community and really, really ask, like, it take a village to raise a kid? That's what
Why
I'm saying. Like, in the community, what I'm saying, in our community, everybody used to help. So what I'm saying, I wish we could get that back.
We are doing that. Aren't you doing
in
that?
In the community.
You taking care of your grandchildren. We're already doing that, Delta. We're already doing that.
Yeah, we are.
We're doing that.
We are.
You doing it. Mother Hattie has foster children. She doing it.
Yeah.
My children are not foster. My children are mine. I was a foster parent.
Right.
My children have never been foster children.
Correctly.
They are my children.
My apologies. Thank
that
you.
That God blessed me with, and they are wonderful boys. I am so blessed to have them because
I can see a whole nother layer of stuff with these children. But I did try to go on and sign a petition for Marcus Garvey, but they said you can no longer sign it. It is gone because they needed 100,000 votes and 100,000 signatures, and it didn't meet, I guess, the deadline to get that 100,000 signatures. They had 25,000. So here again, again, we are sitting on our tails doing nothing. How can you just get $25,000 for that? I mean, 25,000 signatures for that.
Right.
Of course, you know, they do set up stuff too. It may have been more than that. Where there's no, we have no control over anything. It may have been more. You just, you know, I don't trust them anywhere. Yeah. I don't either.
Well, in all honesty, I just saw the link for a petition like last week.
Well, that's what it's saying when I tried to go on and sign it on that.
Justice
for
a link for that.
Sorry.
Right. Well, we can still call.
Oh yeah, and, I will be calling tomorrow.
Great. We can still call. And also, in terms of just to speak on something you mentioned, Delta, about us motivating our community. Silver Light used to take the girls in the community and teach them African dance. And that was years ago.
Free. So, no charge.
Free. Using up her gas, driving through neighborhoods with bullets flying and everything, trying to pick up these children.
Mm-hmm. So, they would do events, special programs
Kwanzaa,
and things like that. Yeah.
Kwanzaa events, all of that. So
It's a natural thing for us.
I met a brother in the school. He's like a grandfather, and he comes to the school just to help monitor the hallways, walk through the hallways. So there's so many people doing things, but what we're saying is, just as the government has intervened to assist these heroin addicts, we still have children that are suffering because their parents are incarcerated or died or something like this from crack cocaine. So they still need assistance. Pay for their college. Do that. They can find these children. They know who they know who's suffering. If you don't, then okay, let's start a list. Everybody write your name down. Send it in.
They know who they are because those are the children who they put in foster care. It's very well documented who they are. And they did the research initially, back in like the early 90s, and initially they started talking about how the children were affected by this product, this crack cocaine. And then later on, after they gathered up so many children and took them out of their communities and neighborhood, they began to say that it had no effects on the children. Initially, they were saying the brain was formed differently and had holes in it, like Swiss cheese, and that's why Swiss cheese, you know how it has holes in it. The brain has to rewire itself for this this kind of situation. Then all of a sudden, that research just went away, and there was nothing there. And so it just behooves me to see and to think, you know, what are you actually saying here? No, they know exactly where the children are, who they are. They probably have someone doing a study on them right now as we speak.
Go ahead on and write a bill for those children in Flint, because they're going to have some issues. So have that money set up now. They can do that. So, I mean, you know, this is crazy. That doesn't make any sense. I'm not going for it. Let me just share this quick little clip on Steve Biko speaking about black consciousness.
We see a completely non-racial society. We don't believe, for instance, in the so-called guarantees for minority rights, because guaranteeing minority rights implies recognition of portions of the community on a race basis. We believe that in our country there shall be no minority, there shall be no majority, there shall just be people. And those people will have the same status before the law, and they will have the same political rights before the law. So in a sense, it will be a completely non-racial egalitarian society.
But will the vast number of blacks, after all their experiences,
yes,
be able to live their life without giving vent to feelings of revenge, of...
yes, we believe it is the duty of the vanguard political movement which brings about change to educate people's outlooks. I mean, in the same way that blacks have never lived in a socialist economic system, they've got to live to learn to live in one. In the same way that they've always lived in a racially divided society, they've got to learn to live in a non-racial society.
In the first interview, recorded in South Africa before his detention, Steve Biko himself talks about the development of the Black Consciousness Movement and his vision of a future South Africa. The first part of the original interview was cut off. The interviewer first asks Biko what Black Consciousness is. Biko replies, "Black Consciousness is a political, cultural philosophy employed by blacks in South Africa in an effort to shake off shackles of mental oppression and to reinstate the essential humanity and pride of blacks. It was first devised by groups like SASO, the South African Students Organization, and the BPC, the Black People's Convention, in 1967-68, and has since filtered through to other organizations operating at various levels." Here the interview picks up with Biko's voice.
Now the history of it starts off after 1963-64. If you remember this era, there were many arrests in this country, which stemmed from underground activity by PAC, by ANC, and this led to some kind of political emasculation of the black population especially, with the result that there was no participation by blacks in the articulation of their own aspirations. The whole opposition to what the government was doing to blacks came in fact from white organizations mainly.
This line is now on hold. This line is now off hold.
These particular organizations. Now, when I came to university, which was sometime in 1966, in my own analysis and that of my friends, there was some kind of anomaly in this situation where whites were in fact the...
And so there was a clip on Steve Biko speaking on black consciousness. Steve Biko was the architect of what we call black consciousness. He was a South African apartheid activist, born December 18, 1946, killed September 12, 1977. He was a student leader, founded the Black Conscious Movement, which would empower and mobilize much of the urban black population. He died in police custody, just like we do over here. He's been called a martyr of the anti-apartheid movement. So we wanted to just acknowledge Steve Biko and Black Consciousness, and so many people are becoming aware and quote unquote conscious, and we just hope that more people can wake up, study a little Steve Biko, and find out what Black Consciousness and activism is really all about. It's not just posting on Facebook, it's not just talking about some of these things that are happening. It's about really, really loving your people, loving yourself, and understanding, truly gaining some comprehension as to what our position is here in the world. So let me see. Father Light, you want to talk to us about grounding tonight? Because we need some grounding with all of this stuff going on. Oh, let me see. Father Light, I did not have your mic open. My apologies. Father Light.
Okay. All right.
Talk to us about grounding.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit about grounding, being grounded, ungrounded, and earthing. Earthing is kind of new. So did you know that for melanin-dominant persons like ourselves, people of African descent, exposure to about 20 minutes of sunlight gives you the vitamin D, the daily requirement of vitamin D that you need, but just 20 minutes of being exposed to sunlight. sunlight. It is good for our health. This is something that we need. And with the jobs that we have and the rush and the types of lifestyles that we lead now, it's kind of hard for many people to do that. You know, you go to your car, you drive to work, you get out of your car and you go in the building and you stay in the building to sometimes sunset.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
so we're not getting that sunlight.
We're not getting the sunlight that we should get, and of course, it's also important for children. You know, back in the day, the children played outside a lot.
The street lights came on.
Exactly. And this is part of maintaining our health and vitality. Now, on another note, exposure to the ground, the earth, gives us electrical nutrition in the form of electrons. So, you remember, we're all energy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? We're all energy. So, just like we need vitamin D for our health, we also need what we could call vitamin G for grounding, because this makes a significant improvement in our health and our vitality. So I wanted to has anyone heard of earthing?
I have not heard of earthing, but could you just pause there for just a second? Let's take a quick break and let's come back and pick up with earthing, because I think that is very interesting. I know you've been telling me about it, but before you introduced me to it, I had never heard of that, and I'm sure some of our listeners probably have not heard of how this is very, very helpful for us. So let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
No, I'm not a writer.
Okay.
Black Talk Radio, since 2008, providing new black media for the masses. The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
And if you have not done so already, do log in to Black Talk Radio Network and go over to the right side of the page, scroll down, and you'll see that big black box with the B on it, and sign up for the new Black Talk Radio Network social media platform that is there. It is awesome. We're forming groups. I'm in conversations with people, and it is just absolutely great. Do that. Log on. Get your membership, and you can interact with people of like mind. Black Talk Radio Network, go on and also donate, and you can get your Black Talk Radio Matters t-shirt. I have one. I love it. I need to get another one. And I want to say, Scotty, can you please get us some women's shirts and a Black Talk Radio Network t-shirt? It's so cute, but I need it in a women's fit, you know what I mean? Like, you know, like women's cut. Can we get that, please? Pretty please, can we please? All right. So, Featherlight, you were asking us.
Yes.
Are we familiar with earthing? No.
Okay. All right. Okay. First, let's differentiate. There we go. My lips got it twisted. Between grounded and being earth and earthing. So, grounding is associated with our root chakra, okay? Because we know the chakras affect our moods, our emotions, our spirituality, how we act, even our health. It affects mm-hmm. how we are on this earth. So the root chakra, which is the first one, it has to do with being grounded, okay? Mm-hmm. So being grounded affects your feeling safe and secure, and your finances are in order, and your physical health is good, and all of that. Now, earthing goes a little bit further. Earthing is simply about connecting your feet literally with the earth. Okay? Just take your shoes off, you're barefoot. Because
we used to play outside barefoot.
Yes. Mm-hmm. There are literally about 2,000 pores in each foot. Okay? Your feet have more pores than any part of your body. That's why they stress foot reflexology, and here in Houston they've got these detox foot baths everywhere. I've had a couple, and they're really, really great. Because since we are all energy, earthing corrects any kind of instability or electron deficiency, because we do have electrons in our body, that you may not know that you have. Because mm-hmm. we use deodorant, which has
aluminum
in it. Mm-hmm. Yes. We have all kinds of metals in our body, and we don't know it. Things that are not supposed to be in our body that we consume from different things that we eat or different things that we put on our body. Because I think it's about 40% of the things we put on our body, like lotions, like we don't do lotions. We do shea butter, lotions, and the regular deodorant like Secret and all of that. They have aluminum in it. So detoxing your body takes this out. You can go to the park, go outside your home, and get your own earthing done just by putting your feet to the ground. And this actually improves your health. It's called earthing.
Can I just say something about aluminum?
Yes.
Okay, so the reason why we should not use deodorants that have aluminum in them, and this also goes for when we're cooking with aluminum foil. Aluminum has been tested, and it causes or it increases your chances of having Alzheimer's.
Yes.
So that's why we do not need to use deodorants that have aluminum. You can purchase natural deodorants. You can make your own deodorant. But whatever you do, just stay away from the deodorants that have the aluminum in them. And, you know, use some wax paper, more wax paper or parchment paper.
Like we used to. Wax paper. You can get it at the dollar store for $1. So, earthing, it actually recharges your body. Mm-hmm. It recharges your body because your electrons, your electricity in your body, it goes off with everything that's happening, you know, with all the caustic psychic energy that we're getting from all these killings. And this affects us. It throws our body off balance, you know. Let me ask some questions to see if there may be some people who are listening who may be grounded or ungrounded. Here are some symptoms. If you're feeling, say for instance, do you tend to forget your appointments or important things? You find yourself forgetting. You're like, it's happening. We all forget from time to time. But mm-hmm. on a regular basis, or you're misplacing or losing things a lot. You lost mm-hmm. your credit card. You lost your driver's mm-hmm. license. You lost the important things.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You're lacking energy. You're tired. You're drained. You daydream a lot. You're overstimulated. You're nervy. You can't seem to settle down. You know? You're not at a calm relaxed state. You're feeling kind of floaty, spaced out, daydreaming. Here's a good one. Bumping into things or general feelings of clumsiness, getting lost while driving.
I am naturally clumsy. I could be walking down the street and just trip up and fall. I'm so clumsy. It's ridiculous.
But have you ever been walking in your own home,
mm-hmm,
and you turn the corner? This is your own home now, and the wall just seemed to have moved. It's like you hit the wall. The wall has been in that same place for like some months or maybe even some years if you've been in that apartment or that home for that. And then you're like, where did that wall come from? Have you ever done that?
No, I have not, but I do bump into things around my home, but I just think I need a larger space. I just like space. My grandmother used to joke with me about that. I always say, I need space. And she thought I was crazy. She would laugh, but I just bump into things.
Okay. Feeling not in control, out of body experience, losing track of what you were saying.
Oh, yeah.
What was I saying? Okay.
Because I have so many things going through my head. So
exactly.
My can't keep up with the rate of thought.
Exactly. Right. And that's like a lot of things going on. A lot of things going on in your head. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's hypermental activity.
Yeah.
Okay, that's hyperventilating activity. Yes, easily startled. Has a tendency to not complete projects. You're full of ideas,
mm-hmm,
but you lack the ability to put them into action successfully and carry them through.
Yes, I do that.
Okay.
I experience that.
Okay. These are signs of being ungrounded. These are signs of being ungrounded. And that basically, say for instance, if you're daydreaming a lot, you're bumping into things that have been there for a while, but you're bumping, you're kind of losing track of where you are. Because we're here on earth as spirits. But sometimes we can become ungrounded. We're kind of floating out there. We're kind of losing touch with being here, planted, stable here on this planet. So that has to do with being ungrounded. Also, feeling unsafe. And I know a lot of people out there are feeling unsafe right now, especially people of African descent. You don't feel secure. You don't feel like it's a safe place for you. That can lead to feeling, that can lead to being ungrounded. Okay. So these are symptoms of being grounded. You're patient, you're calm, you're relaxed, your creativity is enhanced, you're thinking and doing all kinds of things with your mind, you're creating, you're not stymied, you know. You have enhanced intuition. You're focused. You're stable. And your brain is not going a million miles a minute. It's more relaxed. And last, you're able to manifest. That's another big thing that has to do with being grounded. Being able to manifest the things that you want, the things that you desire, the things that you should have. It's part of surviving here on this planet. That's part of being grounded.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did you know that there are three types of chi? You know, chi is energy.
Mm-hmm.
So we got the human
I
chi.
I have heard of three types, but I don't know about them. So please
Okay.
share.
Okay, so we got the the human chi that's in our bodies, of course. Then we got the sky chi, and that's associated with, you know, the moon phases, and sometimes people say, well, the moon is going to be full, and different things happen during the full moon. It affects your body, it affects how you act, you know. That's sky chi, and some people call it astrology, you know. So that's sky chi. And then we have the earth chi. So the earth chi, that sort of influences our ability to be patient, like I said, feel safe, secure, protected, resourceful, able to manifest the things that you need to thrive. And then the sky chi, as I said, it has to do with the cosmos. Okay, the sky, the earth, the heavens, what the moon and the stars are doing up there, because we are part of both. We're part of the sky chi, and we're part of the earth chi. So all three of those are in us. But if we have too much of, say, for instance, the sky chi, like you were talking earlier about being conscious, sometimes people can get too much of that sky chi, you know, like, oh, the world is going to end, it's coming to an end, you know, you're out there, you know, but you're not grounded. And that can lead to psychosis, neurosis, you know, mental breakdowns, because they're not grounded, like we were talking about earlier. They're not grounded. Being grounded is really, really important if we are going to remain here on this earth, because that's how we are stabilized. That's how we can't just be floating out there like floating spirits. We have to be grounded. Mm-hmm. It stabilizes us. It makes us prosperous. It makes us physically healthy. So grounding is just really important. And sometimes we take vitamins and we eat fruit and stuff like that, but we forget about the thing that's so free to us, the earth.
Earth.
So here are some things that you can do, you know, for grounding. Dancing, which I love, because anything that you do with your feet, because your feet are connected to the ground. That's where the grounding starts. Okay, so anything that you do with your feet, pedicure, that helps you with grounding. Dancing, stomping your feet.
I love to get a pedicure so much.
Yes, it's helping you to be grounded. It's not just a luxury thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just a luxury because of all the pores that you have in your feet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why people get foot detox and they get the foot reflexology, because your feet are connected to many, many parts of your body. You can put, if you're into essential oils, you can put a few drops of peppermint oil on your big toe for a headache. That's how your feet affects all of your body, because of all those nerves down there.
Now, I think Dr. Sabre, he had something to say about, I want to say it was peppermint. He said we need to look into peppermint. It's not as healthy for us as we have been told, but that's a whole nother topic, though. But look, I want you to go over the grounding just a little bit, those symptoms of not being grounded, because our system cut dropped Delta's call and Icy Hot's call, and I think your call had a little issue too. So Delta missed. Yeah. So she's been trying to call back in. We have her back on now. I think, Delta, can you hear me? Okay, her phone dropped again. I think it's something going on. I know Delta has some of those non-grounding issues. She's not grounded, like a lot of us. You know Delta not grounded. But we lost her, though. Maybe she'll chime back in. I think it's something going on with the phone system. But anyway, go ahead. Proceed.
Okay. Here's some, for those who can still hear me. Forgetting appointments or important things, and this is doing it on a regular basis because we all do it from time to time, but this is significant. Floating, feeling spaced out, daydreaming a lot, misplacing or losing things a lot, feeling generally unwell. You don't know what's wrong, but you just don't feel well.
Yeah.
Because grounding has to do with your feeling physically healthy. Okay. Mm-hmm. Totally lacking energy, feeling tired, drained, on a regular, just mm-hmm. continually, for no particular reason. Mm-hmm. Continually daydreaming. Now, here's a good one. Falling asleep doing meditation. You're trying to meditate, you're going to sleep. Okay.
I don't fall asleep during meditation. It's just difficult for me to. It takes at least 5 minutes for my brain to calm down.
Oh, well, me too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, me too.
I don't
my brain
asleep.
Is very active. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Sensitivity to the light, to light and noise. Feeling overstimulated or nervy. You know, you're just kind of like jumpy. You know, like, you know, looking around and you're nervy. Bumping into things. Now, I have done that. I really have. I have bumped into the side of the wall coming out of the room. Like, how did I miss that? How did I misgauge that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the feeling of being ungrounded. It's like you're connected more so to the cosmos than you are to the earth, and it needs to be balanced.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Sometimes we can feel like, I'm conscious. I know that there's more to this world than what I see, and the universe. There's more universes than this one universe. And, you know, you're all out there in the cosmos, but you're not grounded. You're not here. You're not all here. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Getting lost while driving when you have the GPS. Now, we can all get lost and drive, especially here in Houston, but when you have the GPS. Losing track of what you were saying. Okay. What was I saying? Your mind is moving faster than it really should. You're full of ideas, yet you lack ability to put these wonderful ideas into action. It's just like, I got this idea, I got this idea, I got this idea. Okay, but what happened to that idea? Well, I don't know. But I got another one. Okay. So, those are some signs of not being grounded. And as I said before, anything that you can do with your feet. Now, everybody may not want to do the earthing. That's up to you. But one woman who suffered from MS was so happy about the grounding work that she did that she ran out of her house, stood in the middle of the street, and just started screaming at people, go get grounded, have a barefoot revolution, because she got such magnificent results from her MS. You know, doctors tell you MS does not improve, it only gets worse. But hers improved just because she was getting her electrons recharged and rebalanced. Because if you think about it, Black Rose, if we are full of energy, just nothing but energy, and it's going around, woo 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 woo, of all these chakras, woo 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 woo. Something is going to throw them off. You're going to have some kind of traumatic event. All these things that are happening with the killings, the police shootings. It could be something that happens within your own family. You could lose your job. Anything that could throw you off balance. Okay, so you need to be recharged, and you need to get things back in order. And earthing, getting the, because the earth has electrons in it, okay, just like I said before, it's full of electricity, just like we are. Everything, the universe is full of electricity. So if we can recharge ourselves, just like grounding, like they do in the electrical world, they ground electrical appliances or equipment, so that the charges won't go all over the place, and so you won't blow a fuse, right? So we don't want to blow a fuse either. You get it?
Right.
So we have to be grounded as well, just like electrical appliances and things. We have to be grounded as well, because we too are full of energy, and we too need to be balanced. Another person suffered from just pain, inflammation, debilitating pain, fatigue, sleep problems, all because of an accident, a car accident that they had. They started walking barefoot on the beach, and within months, the pain, fatigue, sleep problems, they just dissipated. It's amazing that the things that are out there that can heal us that are free.
Mm-hmm.
You know, absolutely free. Earth is free. So I've been doing some earthing myself. When I go to the park, I take my shoes off. I take a towel. I don't wipe my feet when I'm done. But I take my shoes off, do my little tree therapy, and I feel good. I feel good. It's nostalgic, actually, because mm-hmm. most people are like, oh, dirt, you know. But now that I know,
the other day,
you
did that the other day. Here in Cleveland, there's a beach called Edgewater Beach, because you know Cleveland is right here off of Lake Erie. I can see it out my hotel room. It's really nice. I see the sailboat. So I went like as close as I could get, and I just like took my shoes off, and I stood there, and I did my little tree pose, and all of that. And it just felt so good, just feeling that grass and the moistness of the ground and the earth under my feet. And I felt really good afterwards.
Yeah. So I just wanted to, you know, let people know that this is out there. Doctors are doing it. They're you know, it's something that's not really talked about, but it's out there. If you want to, just look it up. Google it. Google earthing. There are a couple of books out on it, which I have. It charges your body. It re-energizes your body.
Mm-hmm. Going through the whole ground and process.
Right, and detoxing. What do you think that detoxing is when you go get a foot detox? They don't just you know put your foot in the water. You know you're balancing your ions in your body. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Love it. I know I love going to the reflexology places that we have in Houston. And you can go and have those treatments for like $20,
$25. Yep.
And it's just great. Oh my God.
They're not expensive at all.
No. And then the tips of our toes are connected to your lungs and your pineal gland, and I think your pituitary gland. Right. So, like, there's certain poses and asanas in yoga whereas, you know, you have your feet positioned in a certain way. And I didn't realize how important it is for your toe placement when practicing yoga. And that's why they have those little yoga socks that help spread your toes.
Right. You told me about the yoga socks. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's important that be able to have your toes spread out in a certain way for balance and for your lung detox and connecting to your pituitary gland and pineal gland. So that's very important. And again, we're not told this. This is not like taught. Our doctors don't tell us this because it's free and they don't have to prescribe medication for this.
Yes.
This is something that we can do on our own. So thank you so much, Feather Life, for sharing that. Really appreciate it.
Yes, remember that your toes, or your feet, have the largest pores on your entire body. So a lot goes on down there. A heck of a lot. And you told me about the five lights. So when I was doing the second one. The second five lights. Yeah, I see how your toes are supposed to do. And yes, my toes are right. I do my toes like you say. Yeah.
Good.
It's a couple of the five lights pose where the toes are very crucial as to how they are positioned. So So okay.
Fabulous. All right. Well, let me just close out with a little of this Malcolm X, By Any Means Necessary. And we will be back on next Wednesday. Thank you so much for tuning in. We will give our report on the Nat Turner film. Going to see that this weekend, and you should go see it as well. Let me see, is there anything else that we need to mention? Let me see. So the petition is closed. Still write to President Obama, call the White House, leave your message with the receptionist, whoever that is, and answers the phone. Let them know we want Marcus Garvey pardoned. From my understanding, this is already on his desk. So regardless, if it's just 25,000 signatures, he's aware of it. Obama,
yes, he's aware.
100,000 signatures.
Right.
Shoot, just go ahead on. You should have done that anyway. So.
Should have done it anyway.
Right.
We declare our rank on this earth to be a man, to be a human being, to be respected as a human being, to be given the rights of a human being in this society, on this earth, in this day, which we intend to bring into existence by any means necessary.
Right, by any means necessary. Thank you so much for coming in. Namaste. Peace.
Namaste.
Good night.